and able to close our eyes and bow our heads and bow the knee and walk directly into the throne room of our God, to bow before you, to confess that our failures, our misdeeds, our evil thoughts, the lack of doing good, the purposefulness of doing evil. We thank you that you are a God that is ready to forgive, ready to heal. And we thank you for this reminder this evening that we have in the table, and pray that we would leave this evening remembering that we are to be salt and light, pointing people to you and to your salvation. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen, gentlemen. Amen. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, for the juice that represents your blood, sinless, precious blood of our Savior, shed to pay my sin debt, mine. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, gentlemen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Once a month when we observe the Lord's Supper, we take a special benevolence fund offering. Not very often you get to see the inner workings of the benevolence fund. You got to see that just recently. Your benevolence fund giving put a roof on Bob's house. You happy about that, Bob? Amen. Every day. It's going to rain tonight.
And the Bob is dry.
And Bob thanks you for your generosity in giving. And the deacons thank you for your faithful trust in them. I trust these men. They're good, godly men. They are not perfect men. If they were perfect men, they wouldn't put up with me. But they love the Lord, and I'm thankful for them. Gentlemen, if you prepare. Father, I thank you for giving people. Thank you for the benevolence fund monies that have been given over the years. I thank you for the firsthand evidence we see of that and someone that we like, Kentucky Bob. New roof on his house. Thank you, the generosity of the people in this room. And I thank you for them, and I thank you for the privilege of giving. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles this evening, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to talk about demon possession tonight. Demonology, demons, how they work, and what is going on behind the scenes of life. And then at the very end, stay with me. Some of you are going to turn me off at the very beginning because you just don't see it. Now stay with me to the very end. At the very end of the service, I'm going to give you an illustration that I hope will drive home a very vivid point and give you something to visualize just as we go. So the first part, 99% of what you're going to get tonight is going to be all information. And then there's going to be one thing at the very end, don't miss it, that is going to be application. And I hope it'll be startling and start, I hope. That's my prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. Pray that you'd help us this evening not to turn you off, not to turn off the information, not to just shut our brains down and go to the ball game in our mind, or even to walk out of the room, but to stay with it and to consider a very vital topic that your word has a lot to say about. And we will just merely scratch the surface this evening. Pray that you would help us in the next few moments. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. And talking about a group of people, for what are they? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So several folks engaged me today. It seemed like the guy in the news, the televangelist from Brazil, was a hot topic among several of you today. And somebody said, asked me the question, do I think that obviously somebody who has trusted Christ is going to stand before God someday? Do you think that there's going to be some shame? Now, number one, I don't know anything about the guy, but I would say that he is a deceitful worker who has transformed himself into an apostle of Christ. But I don't believe he's a child of God. I just don't. Could he be? He could be. But how can you take God's people for millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars and not have any remorse or repentance or make that right, except just to hide it? I would say that the fellow from Brazil that just sold his million-dollar condo in Florida so he could avoid the scrutiny of watchful eyes is a deceitful worker that has transformed himself into an apostle of Christ. But someday he's going to stand before God, and Jesus Christ is going to say to him, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You're never one of my children." But no marvel, right? Verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. No marvel. Therefore, it is no great thing, notice this, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. That sound like the guy in Brazil? Whose end shall be according to their works. Title of the message is Recognizing the Demonic. And just for the record, Ray de Guzman rolled his eyes. And he is a man after my own heart. Well done, Brother Ray. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our heart. Very serious topic, very important for us to consider. And may we be wise. From the youngest person in the room to the oldest soldier of the cross, may we be wise. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Mr. Fender was in the military. They give you nicknames in the military. He had red hair. They nicknamed him Rusty. Rusty Fender. And he kept that nickname his entire life. Taught the kids over at Fairfax Baptist Temple Academy, and he was teaching a course, and he was talking, he relayed this event. So I am getting this event from someone who sat in his class and relayed it to me. But I will give you an actual event that is documented firsthand at the end of the service. So again, stay with me. Mr. Fender said this. There is a missionary. He was in the bush in Africa, a preacher, and he was coming back from the bush, and a night fell, and he had to spend the night in a tent. The villagers that were evil, were witch doctor type things, Satan worshipers and followers, hated him and hated his message and were going to kill him. And they were coming up to the tent to kill him, and something turned them away. The missionary knew that they were there. He looked out of his tent at the disruption, and around his tent the missionary saw 10 angelic beings that were standing at his tent guarding from the enemy. I suspect that's what the witch doctors saw, the evil Satan followers, and turned around and fled at the sight of them. Say, do you think that is made up? I do not think that is made up, and I'll share with you again a firsthand account of that and try to open your eyes to see what people normally do not see, but it is going on behind the scenes in our life, in your life. The next day, he got an email from the United States. Pastor reached out to him and said, last night about such and such a time, we felt very burdened to pray for you, and 10 of us men gathered in a circle and prayed for you. Yeah, wow. Wow. When you pray, God listens and He hears. And when you feel burdened to pray for a missionary, you absolutely should. There are a number of times over the years when the men, we have been here on a work night and we have gathered together and we have felt burdened to pray for someone, and we have. You may never see the results of that prayer, but somebody is going to experience the benefit of that, whether or not you see it. God's angels. God, that was last week. Are there guardian angels? Are there angels that protect us? Without a doubt, absolutely. Absolutely. Just a reminder, whatever God has, Satan has counterfeit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. This is Satan's structure. Against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What kind of high places? I don't know. Maybe a televangelist in Brazil? Maybe in the name of organized religion? Maybe the Pope? You tell me. Satan has a plan. We considered faithful angels last week, guardian angels, faithful to God. There are angels out there, and they want to destroy your life. You can see them manifested in Hollywood movies. You can see them manifested in the rock music scene, in a devil, satanic, demonic worship. You want to do some interesting reading. Don't take my word for it. You do not have to. I challenge you to fact check me. Go and research your music and tell me what the artists are saying, and many of the rock music artists will tell you that they dabble in Satanology, that they pray to Satan, that they worship Satan. Their lyrics are based in drug use, suicide, occult practices, and I'll list some of the names of their titles. But listen, they are organized like an army. Where did he get that from? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. God's angels, they are organized. I would say Satan took his organization from God's organization. He's trying to mimic that. It should be no marvel. Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. My leadership philosophy here at church as a pastor, I got that from the police department. And so I sit down with men, I listen, I talk, we network. Bible college didn't teach me how to work with people. The police department did. Police department taught me how to work with difficult people, especially Baptist difficult people. And I'm thankful for that. And you have benefited from that. If you don't think that Satan wasn't paying attention when he worked for God, he was. And he said, man, this is a great organization structure. And he took that for his own. And he took angels with him, and they are fallen. Listen, my goal this evening is to encourage you not to dabble in the dark and demonic. Flee the unfruitful works of darkness. But many Christians dabble in them. Satan is organized. He's organized like an army. It should not surprise us that God's design has been copied by Satan himself. Again, Ephesians 6:12, for some of you that are taking notes on these scriptures, is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Just beware. What is the origination of order? Who is the originator? God is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. God created the angels. They fell from heaven. Satan took them with him on his coattails. Now, in police work, we talk about a guy that... How did he get promoted so fast? And he'll tell you, oh, I was on so-and-so's coattails. He was going to the top, and I rode his coattails to the top. And we'll show you that from God's Word. People rode, from Revelation, Satan's coattails, because they looked to Satan as someone who was going to lead them to overthrow God. It's found in the book of Revelation. But I've got good news for you when it comes to the evil and demonic. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, tells us that Jesus Christ blotted out the handwriting, the ordinances, and defeated the principalities. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You can have victory. You absolutely can. Satanic warfare, we see that in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. One of my favorite Old Testament passages. Daniel was burdened to pray, and Daniel prayed. And the day that he prayed, God dispatched the answer with an angel. And that angel was withstood by the forces of Satan for 30 days. Read Daniel chapter 10. It's amazing insight as to what is going on behind the scenes when you pray. Just an amazing, amazing thing. Verse 13 says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. What did I say? 30 days. 21 days. 1 and 20 days. 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Where are the coattails? Where does satanic warfare come from? Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 tells us that. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That would be enough to make me run the other way. I want to know why you're not running. 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail, coattails, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So the third part of heaven's angels fell, riding the coattails of Satan, to what they believed was going to be rebellion against God, and we know that they have not been successful. So the message that I'm preaching this evening is pretty normal Bible Christianity, Baptist doctrine. 30 years ago, if the event that I'm about to tell you would have taken place, people in churches would have been alarmed. And what is alarming is that we're not alarmed. Why is it not a big deal today? Why is it that we don't get, the preacher, the old man, Hollywood, rock music, devil worship, the occult? Oh, yeah. Why is it that's not a big deal to us? And here's the reason. Because there are fewer Christians today that really believe in a personal existence of Satan, who is alive and well and roaming the earth and seeking to devour. Fewer and fewer Christians actually believe that. And you don't believe that? Again, fact check me, go to the web and say, how many Christians believe in a literal Satan? It is astounding how few Christians believe that there is an actual satanic, demonic warfare that is at work in our world today. Satan clubs in schools. Satan clubs are pretty normal in our public schools today. The Satanists look into the school system. They look for a school. We have some of our ladies that are in a school. They look for a school where there's a Bible club, and they purposely, with malice aforethought, good legal term for you, go to that school to try to subvert what is being planted in the hearts of the children. They do it on purpose. Pagan statues. Satanic church counters the Christian influence. An article in USA Today, and it talked about that. USA Today is not a bastion of Bible fundamental belief. We just say that. Most of you probably recognize that. They would be probably on the liberal spectrum of the news network. And they're reporting that the Satanists actively look for schools, public schools, that have Bible clubs in them so that they can put their practice, their doctrine, their darkness in that school and undo what is being done for the cause of Christ. They do it on purpose. What is that? It's their design. It's their desire. CBS News reported on March the 29th, 2025. What was that? 2 weeks ago? A week ago? In the Kansas State House, the Satanists gathered in the Kansas State House on March 29th of this year during the day to perform a black mass in the State House Rotunda. And Christians go, what's the big deal? 30 years ago, this would have been a huge deal. There had been outrage. There had been letters written. There had been calls to the government. There would have been people marching on the State House. But now it's like, oh, Satanists are. Oh, they're in our schools. Oh. Well, they're in the State House. Okay. Oh, that's too bad. But there is no alarm. Why? Because, and this is not me, this came from some research that I did this week, because fewer and fewer Christians believe that there is a demonic force, the devil himself, that is at work behind the scenes. We just don't believe it. Here's some Bible facts about fallen angels, demons, the devils, the unclean spirits that chose to sin against God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be delivered into judgment. Jude, there's one chapter. The sixth verse reminds us that the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitations, he hath reserved in everlasting change unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Devil's angels are spoken about in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, reminds us that they are destined for eternal hellfire. You study the Gospels, they are headed to the lake of fire. You study Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 5 is a classic. that demon possession comes with certain manifestations in a body. And if, hey, children, you listen to me tonight, you think you can dabble in the demonic, it's not going to affect you? You read Mark chapter 5 and you'll find that Satan can possess children. And you dabble in that stuff and you wonder what's going on.
Oh, Pastor, I get so dark just to think people are getting me. I hear voices in the night. I just...
Demon possession is a real thing. It's a real thing. What do you do? Run for your life. Run for your life. But here, they are not superior to God. You read the account in Matthew chapter 8, verse 30. Jesus Christ is going to cast out the demons, and they said, come to trouble us before our time. Listen, they know their time is numbered. They know that. They know it. They know their time is coming. And they saw Jesus. Jesus is going to deal with them. Art thou come to trouble us before our time? Demons absolutely hinder the work of God. They oppose believers. We see that in Daniel chapter 10. Mark chapter 5, they cause physical and mental disorders. Next time we have a missionary come in from Africa or Brazil, Brazil is huge, and we have several missionaries in Brazil that come to us, you go to them and talk to them firsthand. Do you see demon possession and oppression in Brazil? And they will tell you, in America, we do a good job of medicating it. They're called medical restraints. And we restrain the person with a medication. But in the countries where they don't have access to that readily, they see it openly as they did in the Bible times. We have just become immune to it. Why? Because we dial 911, they come and do a mental detention order, or a TDO, temporary detention order, and they take the person away and they put them in a locked little room. And I'm walking a fine line here. I cannot tell you, because it's classified intelligence information, about the demonic warfare that goes on behind the closed doors of our mental institutions right here in our area. I wish I could tell you more. But I'd have to dismiss everybody who's under 30 years of age from the room. Just serious stuff. It frightens me. I would not want to be closed up with them. You hear me? You don't want your children to be closed up with them. And children, you hear me? You don't want to be closed up with them. Oh, I'm tough. You are delusional. You're going to dabble in the satanic. Young people, are you listening to me? Every push to immorality is not from God. That's from Satan himself, and he rejoices. You lose your purity, you lose your sanity, you give it up, and Satan rejoices. He just absolutely does. And senior adults, are you listening to me? Because the fastest rising numbers, percentages of disease are in the senior adults. So don't think this is a little kid thing, a teenage thing. This is all the way through life. Satan wants to destroy you, and he will do that with immoral behavior. Should be no surprise to you. They desire to possess humans, animals. They will be active. You're here on Wednesday night in the tribulation period. So just beware. I'm going to give a list. We're running out of time. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a very quick list. Rock music, Hollywood, fortune telling, psychics, crystal balls, tarot cards. Interesting tarot cards were in the news today. A man answered an ad, a card that was put on his car, that said for spiritual cleansing for $200. He paid the $200 and the lady said, you need a deeper spiritual cleansing. And before he was done, he gave her $16,000. I think she said, bring all the money you've got. And he brought, took it out of the bank, $16,000, put it in a paper bag, put eggs in it and said some chants over it. And by the time the evening was done, the paper bag had eggs in it and no golden eggs. The money was gone and she's in jail. But she did that under the guise of a tarot card, astrology, palm readers, Ouija boards. I'll say again, I've said this. We've had this going on for the last 4, 8, 12 years in our government. List your pronouns. Every plural pronoun in God's word is a sign of demon possession. You don't think the demonic is at work in our government? It is absolutely at work in our government and has been openly. What if we've just become callous to it? The demonic is never harmless. In the Old Testament, it was to be eradicated. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14 talk about the similar things. It was a worship. Devil worship was a sign of backslidden Israel. So you can worship the satanic in Hollywood and their music. You can do that. But it is a sign of a backslidden heart. And then come to me and say, oh, preacher, you're just so narrow-minded. You're backslidden. It was never a sign of spiritual fervency. Never was. So beware. Beware of spiritism, spiritualism, necromancy, communicating with the dead. And I shared with you, I think a couple of weeks ago, probably 25 years ago, was at a Baptist conference, and the Baptist pastor talked about, if I said his name, you probably know, about going to the graveyard and communicating with his dead mother. You have got to be kidding me! Say, preacher, what did you do? I got out of there and never went back! My problem is not hearing it and running from it. My problem is hearing it, exposing yourself to it, and embracing it. Sorcery, witchcraft, occult, idolatry, demonic, the demon, and error. So we're in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to close on this and my illustration. We're done with 99%. We're coming down to the 1%. Are you ready? Spiritual warfare going on. Elisha prayed and said, well, let's go to verse 16. Elisha says to the young man, fear not. They're surrounded. The army's got them surrounded. And Elisha says, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the young man's going, one, two, three. Look at all those soldiers around us. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young men, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Round about Elisha. So I need 1, 2, 3, 4. Come up here. Theo, come on up. Yeah, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We're running out of time. Theo, who else I got? Harvin, come on. Warren boys, come on. Xavier, come on, buddy. Okay, get around me. All in a big circle. Oh, they can squeeze through there. They're little guys. You probably couldn't. Get around. Get all the way around me. All the way around. So we got Elisha, right? We got a certain... And these are the angels that are protecting Elisha. Don't look at me, because the enemy is out there. You're protecting me. Protect me. Turn around. The enemy's that way. Okay, so give your... Come up here. Come up here and stand. So face that way. And give me your best... I'm going to knock the living daylights out of Satan that you can. You got an army standing before me. Now act like you're protecting me. Now come on. Ready? Do it. Don't look at him. And you ever feel like you are really vulnerable? That's this group. I know, because I was going to get tapped. I'd be dead. I'd be dead. So when you pray, the missionary on the mission field, he is there. He is under attack. He is under satanic attack. They're coming to kill him. The preacher with the guys are praying, and the missionary sees the exact number of guys that were praying around his tent, standing guard. Hey, guys, look at me. I'm going to show you. Give me your best. Man, there you go. Man, there you go. Okay. So this is God's angels, right? But when you dabble in the satanic, Satan's got angels out there. And instead of facing outward and attacking the demonic forces that are coming after you, they turn towards you, turn towards me, and do the same thing. Now they're attacking me. Because not God's angels, but Satan's angels. Are you with me? So you can dabble in the occult. You can dabble in Satan's music. You can dabble in drug use and immorality. But when you do that, you invite... They're all dressed in black, too. You invite the demonic to attack you. You wonder why you have no victory in your Christian life? You can go sit down. You wonder why it just seems like you're losing every time there's a battle? Because you have put leave to God's forces, the angelic forces that are meant to protect you, and instead you have invited the demonic into your home, in your music, in video games, in the things that you read, in the things that you dwell on. Bow your head, close your eyes. Father, help us. Why is that? Because we have lost sight of the fact that there is a real devil and there are real demons that want to destroy your life. But you're here this evening, you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have zero hope of protection from them. You are absolutely at risk for demon possession if you're unsaved without Christ. And tonight you say, "Preacher, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never really visualized it before, but I can visualize it. Now I know why I'm under attack, why I know why I'm defeated. I need Christ. I need to be saved. Preacher, pray for me." Slip of your hand, hold it up for just a moment. "Pastor, I'm a Christian here in the room this evening. I have opened my life to something that is harmful and demonic, and I never really visualized the harm that I am doing, the danger in which I am putting myself by embracing darkness. Preacher, pray for me that God would give me victory." Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that you give victory. It is difficult to admit that we have opened ourselves to the demonic. I pray that you give victory in the room this evening. There'd be some young people, some older people that would say, "I am going to ask for God's protection. I am not going to open myself to that which is dark and demonic. I am not going to do it. From this day forward, God helping me, Father, do a work tonight." Piano's playing, the altar is open.